is evident on a weekly basis when you watch the news. We've highlighted just a few of the tragic events with J.C. Dugard, who was kidnapped and held captive for 18 years, Chelsea King and Amber DuBois in California, who were disappeared about a year apart, and it's been kind of determined that that was by the same sex offender suspect. Anthony Sewell is the Ohio registered sex offender where 11 decomposing bodies were found in his house. And Alicia Knipp, who was in Vancouver, she was the 12-year-old who was murdered by a registered sex offender in a vacant lot. We don't want to be that officer or that agency standing there feeling like we should have or could have done something. You know, as Commissioner Saltzman said, we want to be the agency that goes beyond knocking on the doors.
I've sort of touched on this a little bit earlier, but what we're most proud of since 2005 is all the partnerships that we have developed. It started out as just me sitting at a phone, and we've come now full bore with two more officers. And top of the line, again, adult community justice in our own county. There are about 25 to 30 specially trained sex offender POs who we're actually in many ways closer to than the officers on the street. Many times we're going through the door with them at their behest, or we're bringing them along. It's a very, very tight partnership. We also last year helped advise the district attorney's office on how to fashion and write a grant where they were successful, and they obtained grant monies to have a district attorney totally and 100% dedicated to fail to register cases. Her name is Caroline Wong, and she's doing an excellent job. Social service agencies, again, we're all on speed dial with each other. It's amazing. With DHS, they call us for help, or we call them for help. And lines are being crossed in very good ways that were never crossed before. Information sharing on a very timely basis that's helping keep especially kids safe. And then below, when I first started this, homeless shelters wouldn't even talk to me because I was a police officer. But we've come full bore again, and again, we're on speaking terms, speed dial. We talk to each other. It's not just me calling them for help. It really is a two-way street. And the part that's not mentioned here is the community. That's one thing in 2010. We have a strong bond with the community, but it's the one that we want to increase. Part of this grant that you're reviewing today has a strong community piece to include more access to the internet with a tip line rather than just calling one of us. Also, all our information will be attached to the website. So instead of just hearing about us because a community member met us and it travels mouth to mouth, we're going to be much more out there in 2010.
May I just follow up on something you said? Because in the last winter mobilization around the homeless, I actually met some registered sex offenders in some of our shelters where we don't screen. People just came and started revealing their stories. So if you are homeless and you're a sex offender, how does the registration process work? You are registered to what location?
Well, if they have a shelter bed, some of the programs give you a shelter bed. For example, the Clark Center across the river, you get a shelter bed for a certain amount of time, and as long as you follow the rules, you're there. We don't consider you homeless. We register you to the Clark Center, and that is your home until you move. If you are actually homeless, we register you to a location that's describable, for example, Skidmore Fountain. And then we advise the person that we don't expect you to fight for your position that night. You know, we don't want you to get into an assault because somebody's laying in your spot. Sleep, it's where you sleep at night, where you frequent at night, and be as close as you can to that if you can't be right there within 7 to 10 blocks. And we've developed the 7 to 10 blocks with the help of the district attorney, because if we have to go after an offender who's using the system, meaning saying he's homeless but he's really not, we have to have some basis in court for a prosecution. And so we developed that 7 to 10 block radius with the district attorney.
So I'm just trying to understand something. If someone is a sex offender and they register to a place where they're camping,
yes,
the guidelines require them to stay within that vicinity as long as they're camping?
No, only at night when they're sleeping.
So they, at night...
Meaning if I have to come knock on your door, so to speak, because you might be a suspect, or I have to verify that you're doing what you're supposed to do with regard to registration law, it's just where you're sleeping at night that you have to report, not that you have to stay there all day long Or did I misunderstand the question?
So if I'm just trying to figure something out, because the police often relocate people that are camping
yes.
to other places. So
yes.
If a person is a sex offender and they are registered to a location where they're camping, are they required, once that location is identified, to stay in that vicinity when they sleep?
Yes. And if they choose to move or get relocated, then the state law would kick in and they would have 10 days to come in here and tell us, hey, I chose to move, or hey, I was forced to move, and now I'm over here.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I'm guessing that is more honored in the breach than the observance, that as people are moved around mm-hmm. for camping, I'm assuming people don't, within 10 days, come and report a new camping site, or do they?
No, actually, because we're now in 2010, 5 years into the program, I would say a majority of our legitimate homeless people follow the rules. And I say legitimate homeless people because they are legitimately homeless versus the person who's trying to use homelessness to skirt other laws. And he's really not homeless. He's living with a woman somewhere, for example, in DHS housing, and doesn't want to claim it because he doesn't want to affect her housing. So actually, most of the guys are fairly compliant.
And you know where they are?
We, through the grant that's ending now, the SMART grant that's ending now, we have found all but 58 guys. And that's of 3,600. So yes.
Wow. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were pretty impressed with ourselves. Commissioner, did I answer your question?
You did. It opens up a host of other questions and concerns, but it's helpful. I'll follow up with you on some of these.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Additionally, we do sex offender registration. We have an open registration on Tuesdays where the offenders can come in between 7 and 3 and register. If that time doesn't work for them, they're welcome to call us and make appointments. So we also do registrations by appointments to accommodate, you know, schedule conflicts. As we spoke of, you know, we were able to locate all but 58 registered sex offenders, and that was through doing the address verification checks, where it was actually an officer going in person, knocking on doors, and confirming whether or not the offender was where they were supposed to be, or where they said they had been staying. We investigate and locate out-of-compliant sex offenders. We do that through address verification checks. This is something that through the program, we have located them in state. We've located them out of state. There was one particular that comes to mind that was an offender who left prison, went to Florida, never followed any of the conditions of his parole, never registered. Florida authorities were able to go pick him up. I think it was a good 20 years later, and hold him accountable for what he had tried to avoid all that time. We complete investigations involving sex offenses that would otherwise go without follow-up. The detectives in the sex crime unit, they deal with the Measure 11 offenses. A lot of times, many registered sex offenders will commit offenses that are lesser, that are harassment, that may qualify as creepy, you know, in the sense that they're kind of, you know, grooming victims or leading down a road that would lead to a bigger offense. Those are the cases that we'll take and we'll look at a little closer and monitor. And, you know, and if nothing else, we're able to give that offender the sense that, oh, I'm being watched now, you know, and trying to toe the line. We'll also talk about a couple successes we've had in you know, protecting the community as well. As Officer Sycon mentioned, community outreach. Oftentimes we're called upon by community members who, you know, a sex offender has come in their neighborhood and they want more information. And so we'll do a community meeting where we'll discuss with them, you know, just community education. We operate as a resource available to assist the patrol officers with questions and problems with sex offender related matters. And then, as we discussed before, the SMART grant and our detached SWORD unit, which was the 28 officers that went out, knocked on doors, completed the address verification checks, and located the out-of-compliance offenders.
And how we've made a difference. I've been with the unit for almost a year now, and every day We're making arrests, whether it's doing follow-up on the patrol officer who arrested somebody for failing to register, but there just wasn't enough information to get a conviction. We'll go out and make the necessary notifications with people, knock on doors, and get all the information needed for a successful prosecution, doing that day in and day out. A couple notable persons, Coy Cotham, who was a registered sex offender from Tennessee, who moved to our state and was actually living in Clackamas County, but portraying to be living in Multnomah County. Officer Sycon, through different investigative skills, got information on him and had enough information to put out a warrant and had him arrested by Weezer, Idaho police, which if you've never heard of Weezer, that's because you probably wouldn't ever hear of Weezer. He was extradited back to our county and ended up, or Clackamas County, mm-hmm. and ended up doing 18 months and is now back in Tennessee living with his mom. Mr. Stephen Routley, who is a very notable person, he was recently on the news for going into art classes in Philomath, Oregon, and posing as an art teacher and trying to get students to take art classes from him. We've determined there's probably at least 30 victims in our state from Mr. Routley. He has been seen all along the Oregon coast in Lebanon, which is in Linn County, Benton County, and Philomath, and we also had victims here in Portland and Michigan, where he originated from. And did prison time, had additional victims there also. Know how to say this politically correct. We went to arrest Mr. Routley on information gained by Lebanon PD. They had an arrest warrant for him, and Mr. Routley decided to take his own life instead of coming back to prison. But we were investigating him for crimes here in Multnomah County also.
The future really sits in front of you now with this KSOM grant. The KSOM grant is also out of the SMART office, so they're both going to say SMART on them. One we have, the first one, which was for just under $300,000, is almost gone. We have a little bit of money left where we're continuing to use it as we can for our field activities. This KSOM grant basically does the same thing. It's a little bit less, so we had to focus, and we found out through the program, for example, the homeless offenders, we found out that most of them were telling the truth. They were where they were supposed to. So why should we be spending a lot of money, overtime money, to send officers out for offenders that are where doing what they're supposed to? So we learned we really need to get the best bang for our buck to focus. And we're going to target, if we're successful obtaining this grant from the feds, with HRSOs, which stands for high-risk sex offenders. We're going to designate it's either 400 or 450, of them, and we're going to target our, not that we're going to forget about that other population, we're going to handle them differently, but that 400 we're going to target just like wildfire, because we know they are, they're the problem, that whether we're talking about registration violations, the creepy violations, the misdemeanor sex crimes that don't rise to the level of the sex squad detectives, that's where we step in, just community issues, the call that we get all the time, hey, we think he's giving them alcohol and he's got kids in and out of the house all day long. Bells are going off, but the person hasn't described a crime yet. There probably is one, but you have to expend the time and the energy and the money to get that crime identified. So that's really what this KSOM grant will help us do. The pilot project, we haven't talked much about that. Pilot project is simple. We want to take these 28 officers that we've already identified within our bureau who love sex offender enforcement and are trained in it, and dedicate them one day a month in their precinct on the Portland Police Bureau's dime, so no overtime necessary. But instead of doing their calls for service, they'll be getting their work from us, the same kind of, hey, go knock on doors, is he there? Or we know he's out of compliance and he's there, so go pick him up and let's start a prosecution, whatever the case may be. And we've already started that with North Precinct. Again, Commander Ferreris has been very helpful in that. And our hope is to continue that bureau-wide this year, to expand it, not to continue it, but to expand it. So those, if we could ask you, if you could help us in any way, is to make sure these last two, the future, goes forward. And unless the lieutenant has anything to end with, thank you for your time and attention.
Could we get, you've given us a copy of your PowerPoint, which
yes,
has,
sir.
excuse me, which has some of the highlights. Could we get the complete PowerPoint?
You have, well, your clerk does have the complete PowerPoint, and then those additional things that you were given are in addition to the PowerPoint. So you do have a copy.
It would be wonderful if it could be posted online and we could link to it.
Slides that you had that aren't in my packet, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, yes, your clerk has them.
Carla, can you
pass them? They're loaded on this computer right here.
Okay.
Right, that you have extra handouts in the PowerPoints right here.
The other thing that would be very helpful is if it's posted online. Send us a link so that we can get the information to citizens.
Sure, as long as our command system has no.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that this is a great program, and by our vote today, we're helping you get that grant. And if there's other things that we need to do or I need to do to help grease the wheels to make sure we get that grant, I'm more than willing to help in that regard too. But this is truly, as I said, it's a program that goes beyond just knocking on the door and seeing if the person's there. It goes beyond the door, and that's why it's so important to me. And I just want to thank the three of you, and I know Sergeant Justice has a role, and Lieutenant Marshman, Detective Lee, I guess.
He got promoted.
Sir. Oh, Lieutenant. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Lieutenant.
Went from Sergeant in Central Precinct to Lieutenant. Don't you follow your people's careers, will you?
I can't keep track of some of these, meteoric risings. Anyway, I know that it's something that we don't hear a lot about, of one of the good, great things that the Portland Police Bureau does. It's truly innovative and is truly keeping our community safe from people who are historically prone to abuse young men or young women. And by keeping good, close tabs on them, we can minimize that. So thanks for all your work, all of you.
So we are going to accept this report.
So move.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
All right. Can you please call the vote?
Fritz?
Well, thank you for your good work, and thank you for your presentation this morning. And thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for taking the time to put this on the regular agenda. I think one of our troubles in Portland is that we sometimes don't brag enough about the good work that we're doing. We don't explain to citizens all the good things we're doing, and so all they see is the headlines of some of the tragedies that happen. I was particularly, I noted your comment about the creepy incidents. And because you're dedicated to this work, because you're doing it full time, and because you know exactly where each one of those 3,600 people are, minus the 50-odd, you get the sense of something's not right. And that enables you to follow up. And that's intangible. You can't write that down in a policy. And yet you obviously have the expertise and the passion to do it. So thank you very much for your work. I want to note that SMART sometimes means start making a reader today. And in this context, it means sentencing, monitoring, apprehending, registering, and tracking. And that we are grateful to the federal government for giving us this grant to make our community safer. This was very, very helpful. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Sobering, the presentation. And there are a number of issues I'd like to follow up with you through Commissioner Saltzman's office afterwards. I just want to identify three. One is that as the Parks Commissioner, we have some parks that are adjacent to schools that are not fenced, which are also used by children during breaks and for outdoor learning. Our school districts do the best they can to monitor, but in light of the data that you've shared with me and the MO of some of these individuals, it seems to me that you've raised a red flag about how we supervise public spaces like parks adjacent to schools, which are used by children, and are we doing enough? So that's one thing I'm going to want to follow up. Number two, in light of the story you told us about the gentleman who was going into a school and sitting in on classes, we have a lot of children that are supervised by parks in our rec centers, in our after-school programs, and the like. Now, we have stringent background checks that we use to hire the people that have direct contact, but our rec centers are fairly open facilities, and people that are have a financial hardship can apply to get in. So you've raised another issue in my mind about how we just monitor that. And the third has to do with how we, going forward, think about homelessness, camping, and some of the new strategies we want to employ to tackle the problem. And based on your data, it suggests that fully as many as possibly a sixth of the people sleeping outside any given night in Portland are registered sex offenders. Now, one of our challenges is getting good data on the people sleeping outside, and for a lot of understandable reasons, people are reluctant to share information. But you've got a database of one segment. And then this notion that people register and are required to stay within a zone has some consequences with some of the strategies we're thinking. So we have to think that through. And then the larger question, frankly, that comes up with camping that's going on right now is safety of women. The large camps have lots of negative consequences, but at the heart of it is violence against women. And I'm not identifying these 300 or whatever as the only likely perpetrators, but I'm guessing from your data and your experience there's a higher risk. And so how we factor that in to some of our strategies takes a complicated problem and makes it even more complicated. But I appreciate the data and the presentation, Commissioner Saltzman, because I think it frankly adds a level of sophistication to the understanding of the data and the challenge. And I welcome and look forward to a chance to collaborate with the Police Bureau as we begin to look at new strategies for dealing with homeless people and ways of getting people off the street and how your programs might interact. So thank you for an excellent presentation, and thank you, Dan, for bringing this to our attention. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, once again, thanks, Officer Sycon and Officer Hecht and Officer Clark, for the great work that you do. Thanks for this presentation. Aye.
Leonard.
And I agree with everything that has been said, and just kind of sitting listening to each of you testify, and Officer Sycon, you and I have talked before about issues, and I've always been impressed with your professionalism and forthrightness and clarity. It just strikes me that, to build off what Commissioner Fritz said, how much attention gets paid to the incidents that receive a lot of media attention, and the day-to-day work that I am very familiar with that officers do that is good, that doesn't get any attention. And I think there's a strategy that, as you may have heard, I have over the years made some polite suggestions to the Police Bureau, and I'll make another one here today that I hope is followed up on. It just seems to me that the Police Bureau would serve itself very well to create maybe not an interactive blog, but on your website, at least a blog in the sense that you talk about different kinds of things that day-to-day officers do, including what you three do on a day-to-day basis. And if you need some template to look at how those are created, the Water Bureau and the Fire Bureau has just exactly that kind of thing. I think that there are a lot of people in the community that read those kinds of things that would be tremendously impressed with profiles of each of you and your backgrounds and what brings you to do what you do, but also actually the work that you do. People don't know that. So I would encourage you to go back to your command and consider doing just such an effort. Secondly, I think Commissioner Saltzman's instincts to take this off the consent agenda and put it on the regular agenda were good. And I think that based on the comments and feedback you got here today, I would hope that would encourage the Police Bureau to do more of this, not just on this topic, but any one of a number of topics, to come in and not do a PR job and not to selflessly promote yourself, but to really explain the day-to-day work that 99% of the Bureau does that never gets the recognition that it deserves. And we have a lot of people watching TV right now that are watching this, that the vast majority of which are sitting at home going, wow, I didn't know that. That's really cool. So I make those two suggestions, and I hope they are followed up on, because I truly want the best for the Police Bureau and do whatever I can to promote your best interests. So thank you for your good work. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to commend Police Commissioner Dan Saltzman for his leadership focus and support of this program. Obviously, dozens of communities get this federal funding, but very few do as well with it as we have, and that's because of your great work. So thank you for that. it's amazing just how effective you have been, given especially how difficult of job it is. So thank you for that. Aye. So approved.
Thank you.
That gets us to recess until 6 p.m. this evening.
Yes.
About what?
The water fear stuff.
Yes.
How I'm really trying to help.
Thank you very much.